Welcome to another edition of I've Got a Beatles Podcast, an educational, informative, and irreverent look at all things Beatles. I'm David Thurmeyer, music theory professor, songwriter, and owner of a sitar.
And I'm Chris Bragg, writer, comedic actor, and Paul McCartney apologist.
We will dissect some of the most popular Beatles tracks,
as well as some of the duds,
and keep you up to date with the latest news.
So, what do you say, Dave? Let's get to Beatling.
Sounds good to me.
Welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast. This is Chris, and that's Dave, and this is episode 4, and it's going to be a George Harrison career-spanning comments on the episode. I was listening to Cracker Box Palace today, and
you're already cracking up here.
Yeah.
It's really great to see George back in the news, and that's why we thought today, since it's so timely, we would give you some thoughts on George tracks from the Beatles and his solo career.
Yeah, George in the Beatles, he was a young Beatle. He was always thought of as the kid Beatle over the years.
But you know what's kind of funny is if you listen to the anthology one, when the Beatles did their first audition for Decca Records, and the famous one where they were turned down, George actually sings half the tracks. So he sang a lot more and was participating more than he would when the Beatles became the Beatles. So it's kind of interesting to see how things developed. But you're right, he didn't write his first original song until, well, at least the first recorded song was on With the Beatles, and that was Don't Bother Me.
Which is a okay song, I guess. I think his first pretty good song was on Help, which is I Need You.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote You Like Me Too Much on Help. Had a couple tracks on Rubber Soul.
Yeah, he had If I Needed Someone, which was very jangly, kind of Birds influenced, and that I always liked that song. I think that's one of his first really top-notch ones. And then also Think for Yourself, which has the cool fuzz bass in it.
And then in Revolver, he had 3 songs on Revolver. 2 good songs.
Actually, you're saying that the bad song
I'm looking at them, and you can argue what good song. Taxman, Love You Too, and I Want to Tell You. Actually, I'm not a huge fan of any of those 3 dudes,
I guess of the 3, Taxman's probably survived the best because it was kind of snarky and poking fun at the British government for taking all their money away, and it also has a pretty awesome Paul McCartney guitar solo on it, so that's kind of why it's stuck. But then Love You Too, well, what is it about Love You Too that doesn't really grab you? Is it the Indian thing, or...
Yeah, it's the same thing we talked about on a previous episode. We talked about Within You, Without You,
right,
which is the next song he also wrote on Sgt. Pepper. And it's like, I just want my Indian music to be Indian music. I don't want Indian-influenced Beatles music, you know?
Yeah, that's one of those you either love or you hate, I guess.
It's over the top with its... trying to be hippie-ish
and yet real dour. Like, the lyrics are very grumpy and philosophical, and each day just goes so fast, I turn around, it's past, kind of the philosophy that...
Almost whiny.
Yeah, a little bit whiny. I've always thought it was a little bit whiny.
And then he was on a roll with Within You, Without You on Sgt. Pepper. And then Blue Jay Way on Magical Mystery Tour.
Ooh, yeah.
66 and 67 was not a good... Well, 67, you can argue, even though Taxman, Love You Too, and I Want to Tell You aren't the best songs, you got 3 songs on one album, and it's a good album.
Yeah, it is.
I Want to Tell You is an interesting song, you know. At least he was experimenting and getting out there a little bit more.
And it's neat with the fade-in. And it's got a good piano part. Yeah, I I like it. It's got some good vocals. But, you know, you talk about all the songs from 66, 67. We wouldn't want to forget another Indian-influenced song from that time period, which I believe was recorded in 67 and released in 68, and that would be The Inner Light.
Oh, yes. I forgot having that on my list here. Oh, my.
I think that was the B-side.
The Inner Light is probably the best of the Indian-influenced ones, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like.
It's got a pretty funky beat to it. Got a good rhythm to it. And it was the B-side of Lady Madonna, I believe.
So, yes, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
He had four songs on the White Album.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about them on the White Album episode. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, obviously, all-time classic.
Yeah.
Piggies, Long, 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 which I really like, and Savoy Truffle.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Piggies and Savoy Truffle are, you know.
Yeah, not exactly the greatest songs ever written, but they're... You know, Savoy Truffle is supposedly, you know, we talked about it before, but it's got the humor of having to get your teeth pulled or have to get some cavities filled, which I don't think, I don't know about you, but I'm not laughing when I'm in the chair getting a cavity filled.
Then in 69, he had three songs, now that I'm taking into consideration what we're talking about. More like five songs. Only a Northern Song from Yellow Submarine, which is okay.
Yeah, it was written in about 10 minutes or something about their company, their publishing company, and all the problems they were having. But it's kind of like everything but the kitchen sink at the end of it, with Paul playing trumpet, and it's all right. It works.
It's All Too Much, which I like. I like It's All Too Much.
Yeah, very heavy song.
I can put that on. The B-side of Ballad of John and Yoko, which is Old Brown Shoe.
I've always loved Old Brown Shoe, and that it's got such a great feel to it. And the song title, you can't do better than a song title named Old Brown Shoe.
Old Brown Shoe, like, you want to be like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But it wins you over.
It does.
It wins me over. Like, it's completely winning to me.
Yeah.
And the backup vocals are all great.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sort of like interesting. Yeah, it's a pretty good song. Then from Abbey Road, Something, and Here Comes the Sun. Maybe you've heard of those two. I don't know.
They sometimes get played. Yeah.
You get it. Yeah, those two are obviously classics.
You would probably agree with me that that's the point where George really started. Maybe it happened in the White Album, but definitely by Abbey Road, George was getting tired of playing second fiddle or third fiddle to John and Paul. And he's coming up with While My Guitar Gently Weeps and Something and Here Comes the Sun, really great classic songs, and yet he still gets stuck with one song on the record side each, and eventually it just becomes too much, and he's got so many songs and they don't take him seriously, and that's one of the reasons why he had enough.
During the White Album sessions, he wrote Not Guilty and All Things Must Pass.
Right.
Two songs that are excellent songs, and the versions that exist from Beatles time of those two songs. I mean, we'll talk about Not Guilty a little later.
Yeah.
But are truly, they should have been on the album.
They're good demos too. The Not Guilty was recorded, I don't know, 100-something times. They really spent a lot of time working on it. And then All Things Must Pass is on the Anthology 3 along with Not Guilty. And you can tell the makings of a great song there too.
So let's hear from, while we're talking about Abbey Road, let's hear Here Comes the Sun. Let's hear a little bit of that.
All right.
Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Yeah, it's such a great song, and the story behind it's pretty fun too. How George skipped one of the Beatles business meetings at Apple Records because they were just getting really sick of each other, and he went to Eric Clapton's house and sat outside, and it was a nice sunny day, and there aren't too many of those in England, so it was kind of a big deal. And they just sat out there with the guitar and wrote that song. It's such a great feeling, despite all the turmoil that was happening around the Beatles.
So, and then as the Beatles broke up, actually, Abbey Road's the last, you know, as we talked about before, that's the last album they actually recorded. Mm-hmm. So when Let It Be was released, we were able to hear I Me Mine and For You Blue. Both of which are interesting tracks, but not necessarily legendary tracks.
No, I guess of the two, maybe I Me Mine is kind of notorious because it's the last song that the three Beatles were in the studio together. I don't think John plays on that, but Paul, George, and Ringo were in the studio, and that's the last time they were ever together before they... You know, many years later, before they reunited for a while, but
before "Free as a Bird."
"Free as a Bird." Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Harrison has a writing credit on that.
Yeah,
and sings pretty cool and plays pretty cool. A slide Harrison guitar on it.
Yeah,
and George Harrison also has there is one other Lennon McCartney Harrison Starkey song.
Oh. I think we
Christmas
talked
time is here again. O-U-T spells out.
For all you Christmas fans out there, you'll want to rush out and get the Beatles Christmas albums. Because that song was one of the great ones. Christmas time is here again, or as they say, Christmas time is here again.
Now, George Harrison... did release a solo record while still technically in the Beatles in 1969.
Two of them, actually, I believe.
In 1969, he released a classic on Zappel Records. Electronic Sound, which is a... bizarro experimental soundtracky type album.
Yeah, it's George playing the Moog synthesizer for like an hour or something, just noodling on the synthesizer. it's pretty forgettable. I can say I've never listened to the whole thing. I did listen to part of it once, and then I don't know, maybe about a minute. I don't know if it's as bad as Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed, but it's kind of in the same vein.
Yeah, I think it's slightly better. Machine Music was intentionally bad to try to get out of a record deal or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And actually, the first Beatles solo album was by George. It was for a movie, a little-known movie called Wonderwall.
Oh, that's right!
Yeah.
Wonderwall.
And the soundtrack is... I actually saw that on TV recently, on BBC America, or one of those stations. I saw a clip of, or a little bit of Wonderwall, and George wrote the music. It's very Indian influenced. I don't know, again, not something I would probably spin, but that was the first Beatles solo album.
Yeah.
So then followed by Electronic Sound.
That's a good little thing. But and then the Beatles split up, and... each person released their first solo album about the same time, and one could argue that the best post-Beatles solo album is All Things Must Pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a giant album, for one thing, 18 tracks on it.
I mean, think about it.
If you don't count the... extra bonus tracks released in 2000 with the crap like I Remember Jeep and Thanks for the Pepperoni in there.
Yeah, that was on it was called Apple Jam, is where that those songs came up. It was the third record of the triple record set. You know, think about it. All right, here, you're back. The Beatles just broke up. You're George. You've got all these songs that you'd bring into the Let It Be sessions. You're going to your friends, John and Paul, and you're saying, hey, can we record All Things Must Pass? Or, hey, I've got this tune called Let It Roll. Or all these different songs, and they just say, I don't think so, George. We don't have time for that. And so here you're sitting on all these tunes. So what do you do when you quit the Beatles? You record a triple album. You have so many songs. And so that's the first album, and it's produced with you-know-who, Phil Spector.
Phil Spector, yeah. This probably the best Phil Spector work, if you ask me. There are some tracks like Let It Roll that have that classic sort of echoey Phil Spector thing happening.
The wall of sound.
Wall of soundish stuff happening. Maybe one could say it that towards the end of Isn't It a Pity, it kind of gets to that point as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this is such a diverse album. It's got some real clean stuff on it. A very well-produced album, very well-sung, well-performed, well-written. All of the songs are good, pretty much, or less. We can argue about The Art of Dying or not, but but there's so much classic stuff on here. My Sweet Lord, Isn't It a Pity, which is one of my all-time favorite songs. Wah-Wah, I love it. What Is Life?
Not only great songs, but as you said, great playing too, because it's a who's who of musicians at the time who were hanging around George. So Ringo's on drums and Clapton's on guitar, and Billy Preston's playing, and just a lot of great musicians. And also, in addition to all those great songs you mentioned, it has the only real Bob Dylan and George Harrison collaboration. It's the first song on the album called I'd Have You Anytime. So, nice way to start the album. And so I thought we would start out and play a couple tracks from this because it's so big. And Chris will tell us the first one.
The first one has one thing I wanted to say was this album came out, and this album started to define what a solo George song would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have... Solo George song. You're going to have probably slide guitar in it.
Yes.
really good sounding guitar. You're going to have jingle jangly acoustic guitars, probably.
Mm-hmm.
May or may not have some keyboards. But you're also going to have really stupid song titles sometimes. one of those, which I'd like to play first, Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp. Yep, that's the unnecessary part of the title.
and Chris, who was Sir Frankie Crisp?
do you know?
I do. Sir Frankie Crisp was the previous owner of George's house, which was called Friar Park. Let me see. He actually lived until 1919. And he was an English lawyer and microscopist. I don't know how you would say that. But he bought Friar Park, which is George's house. And former Beatle George Harrison purchased it in 1970. And so it was a song sort of inspired by Sir Frankie Crisp.
but the title we all know it by is Let It Roll.
Yeah, so let's let it roll.
Let it roll across the floor, through the hole now.
that's Let It Roll. What track would you like to hear, Dave?
I'd like to play the title song, All Things Must Pass, because it's great lyrics. It just has George, kind of, to me, sums up a George song. Very philosophical lyrics, well produced. And actually, Paul McCartney liked this song so much that he performed it at the tribute to George in 2001, or 2002, I guess it was. He sang this song in a very beautiful version. So I like to play a little of All Things Must Pass. That was a little of All Things Must Pass, the title song from George's 1970 album, All Things Must Pass. And then we move along.
It's such a great, great, great album. And it's kind of a shame because it is his best album, hands down.
Do you think he peaked too soon?
I think he peaked. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm like, he put every good song he'd had stored up on one album.
That's kind of true.
And he might have thought about like saving a few of them. I mean, he did save Not Guilty for a way later album and stuff like that. But he might have thought about, dude, just doing one album and then giving it another year and doing another album and then getting a groove going.
Yeah.
But I feel like he kind of was like, screw it, I'm going to put everything I've ever written on this album.
Right, right.
Made a great album, and then everything after that's kind of a slight letdown, not huge letdown. I mean, he didn't release another album for 3 years.
Yeah. And we could say, I'd almost say that every album after that is kind of uneven. It's just up. You've got some ups, some downs, and in the middle period, a lot of middle stuff. Kind of not, I don't want to say mediocre, but...
Well, I said earlier to you that, I listened to a lot of the George Harrison albums that I don't listen to very much, and then I named almost all of them. His next album in 1973, Living in the Material World, went to number one in the U.S., Not a terrible album. It has a couple of good songs on it, including some that you might miss the first time, like Try Some, Buy Some's a really good song. Mm-hmm. Also has some duds. I mean, Sue Me, Sue You Blues, if you ask me, is kind of a... it's a little too much. But at least this album sort of had a point to it, and... he was saying some stuff.
Yeah, it was a follow-up to... It's hard to top your big number one triple album, and it was hard for him to top it. But I think he did branch out a little bit. The Sue Me, Sue You Blues was about the Beatles' legal battles, and has some... Yeah. It does have some good slide guitar on it, I will say that.
Yeah.
And Living in the Material World, or as he says it, Living in the Material World.
Living in the Material World. You mean that?
That sounds pretty good like that. He mentions John and Paul and Ringo in there, so kind of looking back on what the events of the day were. But for the most part,
it's... sort of a philosophical rumination album, and it sounds really good.
Yeah,
like the production, and not so much the production of it, but the
just the sound,
the orchestration, the whole tone of the album is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So let's hear. What should we hear from it?
Well, the most famous song from it was a big hit, big single, and it was called "Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth." That was "Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth," the big number one single from "Living in the Material World."
A pretty decent album as far as Harrison albums rank. It's probably second or third, somewhere there, maybe fourth. It was followed 1 year later by an album that did a little bit worse and was a lot worse, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse was an album that had a lot of problems around it. George lost his voice, so it became marked as, or people would joke about it and say it was Dark Horse, H-O-A-R-S-E, because when you listen to the songs, his voice is rough, and he was having marital problems with his wife, Patty. He was drinking a lot, not taking care of himself. You can tell that in the songwriting. It's not real inspiring in his songwriting. It has some weird things. There's a song with a terrible version of "Bye Bye Love" with Eric Clapton that's just dreadful. And then there's
doesn't that one have like a modified sort of jokey lyrics?
It does. Yeah. They changed it, and it's really not jokey at all. It doesn't work. Not too funny. There's a song with Ron Wood that he wrote with Ron Wood. There's another Indian type song called "It Is He," Jai Shri Krishna, and so not a lot of great things. So I guess and maybe the two hits off it were "Ding Dong, Ding Dong," George's Christmas contribution, and "Dark Horse," the title track. So which one do you want to hear?
Oh, jeez. Neither. But let's hear just a little bit of Dark Horse, I guess.
Okay. Dark Horse. But that was Dark Horse.
It's weird. This album feels like it was probably recorded all over, you know, in such a scattershot manner and with too many people contributing.
Yeah.
Too much of just like, let's record a thing. A little unfocused to me, I think is probably the key to why this one's, I mean, it's just kind of all over the place. Too many, Steve Winwood's involved in it, Gary Wright, you know, like, one of these, Ray Cooper,
And that was the album he took on tour. George was the only Beatle that, up to that point, who had gone on tour, really. And he did a solo American tour, very interesting career move. So he came over and did a bunch of shows in America by himself with this group. And again, it had all sorts of the problems, voice problems, drinking, he changed the lyrics. Like they sang In My Life, and instead of In My Life, I Love You More, he said In My Life, I Love God More. And just changing things,
Yeah. He was dinking around. I mean, you could say. The next album has the stupidest title of the movie, which is, it's called Extra Texture. Read all about it. But this album's songwriting is lyrically extraordinarily weak, mm-hmm. if you ask me. But it sounds a lot better. It's an improvement for me from the previous couple of albums, as far, or at least from Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
as far as it's got all that classic stuff you want to hear in the George song.
A few too many listless tempos, though. A few too many slow songs on this one. It's a bit sleepy, but I know a song that you like on there is, a lot of people have called it the sequel to While My Guitar Gently Weeps, called This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying. That was This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying from George Harrison's 1975 album Extra Texture.
I like George in that mode of like, oh no, something's happening and I gotta tell you about it. I've got agony. I just like him in that mode. The lyrics on this album, I mean... There's this song called Ooh Baby, You Know That I Love You. You know, he's trying to write a Smokey Robinson song. And it's You, which was a hit song, but just is not good, if you ask me, at all.
No, he sounds very whiny on that one.
Yeah. And then there's Can't Stop Thinking About You. It's all these songs that are just kind of like... There's a difference between simple songs and simplistic songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think these go a little too towards simplistic.
And so that's why it was really kind of exciting when his next album came out, which was 33 and a Third from 1976, which spawned a couple of hit singles. And to me, it was an album I liked because I think it was the first George solo album that I ever had. I just love the feel of it. It's got a good sound, has some good musicians on it. Billy Preston's back on there, and it has a couple of cool songs like Cracker Box Palace, for example, which, have you ever seen that video?
Yes, it's a real interesting video, and Monty Python influenced it.
Oh, yeah, big time. But this song, the video is filmed at his house, and Cracker Box Palace is kind of about him and about his house and his life. So you want to listen to a little of that?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right.
We've been expecting you. You bring such joy in Cracker Box Palace. No man where you roam, no one love is true.
So that's Cracker Box Palace from 33 and a Third, and it's got all the George Harrison trademarks of the slide guitar and the flange. And what do you think about it?
Well, I was just saying it sounds very 70s. Like there's a sound from about 77 to maybe 80, and it was just existed in those times, and you could hear mostly on stuff on I just imagine this being played on Saturday Night Live, you know, it like sounds like in that mode of very late 70s kind of tones, like that deep flange and all of that. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
I think that the hallmark of this album, why this sort of stands out as a George album, is that he just seems to be taking everything a lot less seriously all of a sudden. There's Cracker Box Palace. There's a song called This Song, which is sort of a making fun of his own copyright infringement case where he was sued for My Sweet Lord sounding a little too much like She's So Fine, or He's So Fine. So it just puts him in a... this album sounds a little more fun and loose.
Definitely. That was something that was needed after those last couple, after the Living in the Material World and Dark Horse and Extra Texture, which got a little too gloomy. So that was a nice change. And actually the next album, I'd say, is also in that same vein a bit.